You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another edition of Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. The D-backs fell a game and a half out of a playoff spot last night with a 5-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers. Lorenzo Cain, spectacular with the glove, taking away three potential extra base hits from the D-backs. And that helped to spoil a great performance from Merrill Kelly. One run, three hits, six strikeouts, no walks, and seven innings for the rookie right-hander.
Tough game to lose. Want to get off to a good start in this series with, you know, how big of a... with the implications that this series has. It's baseball sometimes. We've still got three more, so come back tomorrow and, try to turn the page.
D-backs will turn tonight to Taylor Clark, just off the injured list to make the start against former D-back Yuli Chacin for Milwaukee. You got a game and a half difference between the two in the standing. It's Friday, so we'll hear from one of the D-backs' top prospects. It's the seventh-round draft pick from this year, Spencer Brickhouse. He's joined by the new voice of the Missoula Osprey, Chris Jarrett.
When you started baseball here, going all the way back to the beginning, what was it, maybe anyone that got you going into the game specifically, and what'd your baseball background look like as a younger guy?
Growing up, I tried out a lot of different sports, started playing basketball, football, and baseball, obviously. My dad, he played basketball a lot, so he knew a lot about that game, but he didn't know a lot about baseball, and there was not a big member of my family that knew a lot about baseball, so he spent a lot of time watching Cal Ripken Jr. videos that he put out about coaching. Me and him would sit down in the living room and sit there and watch that and try to learn as much as we could about the game through Cal Ripken Jr. because we all knew that he was, you know, a phenomenal baseball player during my dad's era. He spent a lot of time trying to teach me how to play the game the right way. And, you know, going into, you know, middle school, high school, I kind of narrowed the sports down to baseball and kept on keeping those fundamentals that I learned at a young age with my father.
Well, and it looks like in high school, obviously, baseball is where you found most of your success. You and I have had the chance to talk about the incredibly high batting average that you had when you were in high school. How many people have asked you about that? And, it's a pretty impressive achievement of having this, what was it, the second highest batting average in all of the state's high school history?
Nobody really discussed it in high school. I mean, everybody on the team knew that I was really good, and I was kind of looked as the guy that, you know, everybody wanted to watch me hit, and everybody kind of came to watch me hit, but nobody ever really discussed it. It kind of was just a thing that was there, and, you know, coach in high school brought it up to me senior year. He was like, yeah, you're actually really close to getting the record. I didn't realize it until probably two-thirds of the way through the season. Then he told me about it. I needed, like, two more points but at the end of the season, and I think it was like a 561, having like a 559 or something. Dang. Like that.
So, you know, you go to East Carolina and you play there at the Pirates. You go to a super regional. What was that like? Was that the highest stage maybe that you had played on when you go to Louisville to take them on? What was that experience like for you?
It was good to go to the super regional. It was good to get close to Omaha. That's a big goal that East Carolina has been striving for years now. But it still doesn't beat the atmosphere that we had during the regional. And, you know, we lost the first game to Quinnipiac and had to fight all the way back. And once we got to that final game against Campbell, you know, that was the most intense environment that I had ever been in a baseball setting. And you could just tell that the fans had our back. And once we started to get the lead, you can just tell that the other team was feeling the pressure. And that was something that was incredible to see.
And then you have Tyler Poulin on your team who played for the Bobcats. Have you guys talked about that game and that series at all?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it a lot. That's what when I first got here and realized that he was from Quinnipiac, we started talking about it, and he said it was incredible that they beat us that first time. He said that, you know, the second time he had a feeling that it was going to be kind of tough to beat us two times in a row, considering we had a chip on our shoulder and we had a lot of momentum going our way just because we had something to prove in front of the home stand.
So you get to the Osprey, you meet a guy like Casey Judge, the hitting coach, who's not too removed out of his playing career as well. What are some of the things he's worked on with you, to your biggest improvements maybe that you've been trying to make as a priority?
Switching from metal bat to wood bat has been a big change. It's something that I have to get used to. But Casey's done a great job with me, just trying to get me comfortable and trying to figure out my swing, you know, every day, and trying to get back to the swing that I had, you know, back, you know, a while ago, just because at the beginning of this season I was struggling pretty bad. And he's been working with me daily, trying to get that swing that I had and I'm extremely grateful to have a hitting coach like him who's taking the time out of his day to try to help me be the best player that I can be and to reach my potential, and he's done a phenomenal job.
So you get your first pro home run. That was about, I think, maybe a little more than a week ago at this point, but all of those things considered, trying to get back, it was a tough start for you. But what was that feeling when you saw it clear the fence?
It was an awesome feeling. It was a very surreal feeling seeing that ball go over and start around the bases, because, you know, it kind of hit me at that point. You know, that's your first home run. It's, you know, many more to come, but that's the first one, and that's a big milestone for me. And it's not something I've been trying to focus on. I haven't been trying to focus on trying to put the ball in the park. I've been trying to just focus on making hard and consistent contact, just because once I do that and I can consistently make contact on command, then I can start worrying about putting them out of the park and showing off more power.
Diamondbacks fans, if they're listening to this, they want to try and find something out about you. If there's one thing that you'd love for them to know about you, what would that be?
For the Diamondbacks fans, I want them to know that I'm trying to do the best that I can to make the Diamondbacks the best organization possible. I want to do the best that I can to put the Diamondbacks in the most ideal situation, in the most ideal position to get to the World Series and win the World Series. That is my number one priority. I do not have any individual goals. My only goal is to get the Diamondbacks to the World Series and to win it.
Spencer Brickhouse with the voice of the Missoula Osprey, Chris Jarrett. Brickhouse hitting over 300 in his young career with Missoula. As long as we're on the prospect talk, there's a new number one prospect in the organization. According to Baseball America, Alec Thomas has taken over that role, fresh off his Futures game appearance. Dalton Varsho, who is also in the game, is number two. They have a new top 30 that was just released this week. All right, let's hear from Torrey Lovello. Another important game tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers, with the D-backs just a game and a half behind Milwaukee for a playoff berth. Here's what the manager has to say about tonight.
Yeah, Torrey, it's rare when a player takes over a game defensively in baseball, but yeah, it really seemed like last night, you know, the offense struggled as much because of Lorenzo Cain as anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's three balls that I don't know what the exact catch probability was. I'm sure it wasn't that great. And he made three really, really good defensive plays, and those are hard plays. You know, you got to manage the wall, and you're banging into the wall, and, you know, a couple balls over his head. Those are hard plays to make on the run, and you know, you throw those into the equation where we get the hits, it's a totally different story. We might score one run, maybe a crooked number, I don't know, but got to hand it to him.
It seemed like you were getting into advantageous counts, but just weren't able to deliver. What do you see? What do you think caused that?
Well, I think we had a good game plan against Davies. He was going to be working the edges. He's going to be sinking it, cutting it, and we just wanted to make sure we're getting the ball up that might have been a little flat and was hittable. And we did that all the way up until those really good parts of the count where you think he's going to throw you a four-seamer that's going to be really straight and hittable. However, he didn't back down. He didn't give in to what we were trying to do, and we just got a little over-anxious. So I think we learned a good lesson yesterday that no matter what count you're in, you got to see the baseball. You can't take advantage of certain things unless you know 100% they're coming. He didn't give us that percentage.
What stood out the most about Merrill Kelly yesterday?
Yeah, the command of all of his pitches, and then he got into those middle innings, and it was just quick, easy outs. And he was pounding his fastball, maybe a little bit tight slider cutter in combination with a curveball. And the curveball had some really good late life in the hitting zone. I would see that ball kind of stop in the hitting zone and make a left turn, a sharp left turn. And it seemed like he could bounce it if he needed to. He could land it if he needed to. He had a really good feel.
Yoan Lopez obviously struggled. I think it's four of the last five outings he's been scored upon now, which is, you know, everybody's going to go through that. But what's the adjustment that Yoan needs to make now to get back to being the guy he was the first 3 months of the year?
Yeah, you know, you don't get a 1.60 run average by just being average. You're doing a lot right. And when teams see that, they notice that they got to jump up and do something to counterpunch. So they've counterpunched him a little bit, maybe got aggressive into fastball counts. I'm not sure. But for me, it's that fastball location. When he's crisp and clean on the edges and throwing it at 97, 98 miles an hour, I think it becomes almost an unhittable pitch and then climbs to the top of the zone. So it's three pitches in one. It's, you know, it's one pitch, the fastball, located three different ways. It becomes very, very tough to make adjustments on. And then maybe to land his breaking ball. I think it gets a little sloppy at times, a little loose, and good hitters don't miss those types of pitches.
He uses the slider a lot. Could there be changes in the pitch mix coming too?
I don't think so. I just think he needs to perfect that pitch and get on top a little bit more and get some more depth in the hitting zone. Instead of, you know, a loose slider to me is something that just rolls up there and doesn't have the finish. The finish that we were just talking about with Merrill Kelly, when he gets to the hitting zone and makes its turn. So we're not going to change the pitch sequencing. We just need to sharpen up that pitch. He's also got a very, very good split finger fastball that he likes to throw. So you might see that get into the mix against certain hitters if that's the right call. But I think for the most part, it's that fastball command and maybe tighten it up with the slider.
And Taylor Clark makes the start today off the injured list. What were the reports like on his rehab start for Visalia?
Really good, really good. He got through his work the way we wanted him to. You know, he's using the fastball and locating the fastball and working the secondary stuff off of that. So that's really the name of the game. And when you're a young pitcher in this game and you got the mound presence and the composure that he does, it makes things a little bit easier. He's going to be able to stop and get that heartbeat settled down and make pitches when he has to. So those are the things that jumped out at me when I first met him, and that's what he's been doing ever since he's been on this rehab assignment. Glad to have him back.
You see a lot of sliders today from Yulich Jussi, and that's always been part of his game plan. How do you combat that? I mean, you've seen him throw some pretty good games against you guys over the last 2 years.
Yeah, right. When he's in San Diego, he was really, really good. And it's that slider, and he can throw it anytime he wants, whether it's a back door to lefty or a back foot to a lefty. He's got a couple of options there, and then he can front hip it, and he can also bounce it to a right-handed batter. So we just got to gauge where it is and know what we're trying to look for. And isn't that the name of the game? It seems like it's the same thing I tell you every single night. But we might have to hit backwards. We might have to look for the slider and hit off of that.
D-backs manager Torrey Lovello joining us on some early BP. Roster move before the game. Taylor Clark activated from the 10-day injured list. On the way to AAA is Domingo Leyva, as is John DePlantier, who made a rehab start for High A Visalia last night. He was activated and optioned to AAA. All right, we are ready for baseball. Big night tonight for the D-backs against Milwaukee. We'll have the BP show for you at 6 o'clock on the Diamondbacks Network. Greg Schulte, Tom Candiotti, the first pitch as Clark comes off the injured list for the D-backs against Yulich Jussi from Milwaukee. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with more early BP.